Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an interview with Stacy Cernick, founder, president, and CEO of Annex Consulting Group, a project-based IT services company specializing in application development, project management, network infrastructure, and management consulting. Stacy, you bring a lifetime of proven leadership and success to our audience. We thank you for doing this interview with us.
My pleasure, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
Stacy, can you tell us more about your 40 Under 40 Award, recognizing the top business people in British Columbia under the age of 40?
Well, I'm a previous winner of the 40 Under 40 Award from Business in Vancouver magazine. The award recognizes the top 40 business leaders in British Columbia under the age of 40. The magazine's research staff coordinates the recruitment of entrepreneurs and management nominees in the British Columbia business community. And then a panel of judges shortlists the nominees and selects the winners. So I was honored to be selected and was lucky enough to appear on the front page of the magazine and to be the first person profiled in their issue.
Well, that's quite an honor. So it does reflect the considerable expertise and the talent that you bring to the marketplace in all segments.
Yeah, it was great. And since I have won the award, it's been fun for me to also look at nominating people and trying to recognize others that I work with.
Please overview Annex Consulting.
Annex is a project-based IT services and consulting organization. So we're entirely services-based. We don't sell any hardware or licensed products or anything like that. I created Annex in 1998, so we've been in operation for nearly 10 years. We have offices in Vancouver and Victoria and primarily serve the BC marketplace. Having said that, we also do work in other provinces and territories and in about a dozen U.S. states. Most of our work is contract services, and the four areas that most of the work falls into is applications development, project management, technology infrastructure, and management consulting. We staff our projects using the Annex Alliance, which is our consortium of about 3,500 independent IT and business consultants in BC. So that allows us to pick the very best people when we're staffing projects rather than having to worry about internal employee utilization we use contractors rather than employees and try to pick the very best people for the assignments. Although contracting is our main business, we also have a division that does permanent staffing recruitment. And this past summer, we launched a new business called the Annex Learning Center. It's the only training organization based in BC that focuses entirely on project management education. Finally, what I'm most proud of is that Annex has completed over 900 projects using 1,000 different people since 1998 when we founded it, and despite the IT industry's notorious track record for project failures, we have a 97% customer satisfaction rating across all those projects.
Well, that's a considerable achievement. The 97%, did you say?
Yeah, 97%. So that's we've been approached by a number of large industry players, some of the biggest companies in the IT industry in the world, who have approached us to be partners to say that we have the highest customer satisfaction rating in the industry that they know of. And we've actually turned down those partnerships so that we can remain vendor independent because we do a lot of independent evaluation.
So, what I see from that is some best practices. Can you share some of the best practices that you've learned in building this sort of tremendous success story?
Well, we definitely believe that one of our differentiators is that we have experience with best practices in the industry. So we compete a lot with other organizations often categorized as recruitment firms, and they don't necessarily have the background in IT that we do. So we have best practices in applications development, and we don't just use one. We use many, and oftentimes we're required to work with a client and use their internal best practices. So when we do a project, we have best practices from our internal toolbox and from industry best practice standards, and then we apply those and have a centralized project office that helps those consultants and those project teams apply those industry best practices and then QA the results.
Can you describe your major challenges and solutions as president of Annex?
Challenges. I would say that our number one challenge right now, which is a very good problem to have, but it is managing growth. Annex revenues have grown on average by 70% every year since the company was founded in 1998. So that's it. You know, with a busy market and a lot of opportunities, what we need to do is just try to contain and manage that growth. One of the solutions to that challenge is that I belong to a masterminding forum. It's a group of company presidents, and it's called Virtus. And there are similar other masterminding forums out there. We meet monthly and help each other's businesses, and it's like having an internal board of advisors. I also spend a lot of time doing strategic planning and internal goal setting so that we can operate with realistic targets and keep continuing to improve. We also have a huge list of both financial and non-financial key performance indicators that we track very closely and regularly, so we can understand what's happening at all times and you know, understand where we're headed, which direction. I believe definitely in the old saying, if you don't measure, you can't manage. And so we're sticklers for that, and we recently just set aggressive targets again for 2008, and we expect another year of solid growth. I would say the second challenge, something that we're experiencing a lot right now, is the availability of great consultants. Annex has consistently generated more contract opportunities in IT than any other organization in British Columbia for many years. We track those stats. So finding work hasn't really been a problem for us. With our track record of success, the work often finds us. The challenge these days is to identify people who are available to do the work. The IT market here in BC and in Western Canada certainly is very buoyant, and everyone is busy. The demand that we're seeing for people is definitely outpacing supply in just about all the areas of IT. The Information and Communications Technology Council, or ICTC, they're a Canadian IT industry analyst group, and I look at their stats regularly. They're forecasting a shortage of 89,000 IT people across Canada by 2012, over the next 4 to 5 years. Some of those reasons, some of the factors for that shortage include retiring baby boomers. You know, the industry is getting older like the rest of the population, and as well low enrollment in computer science across the country. Here in BC, we have an industry group called the BC Technology Industry Association, and they believe that there's a current shortage of over 10,000 high-tech people in BC. Back in 2005, the unemployment rate for IT workers in Canada was only 1.9%, which is quite low, and I believe that that's definitely gone down since then. So that's kind of a long, I guess, description of the challenge. The solution that we're trying to implement, or that we have successfully implemented and we're seeing results from it, is that we have a referral program where people refer consultants to us when we need to do work, and then they get compensated for that referral. Now, referrals isn't a new concept. A lot of companies do that, but what we do is that, let's say, Stephen, that you refer a programmer to us. That programmer in our database of people has you listed as the person who referred that individual. So every time we use that consultant on projects in the future, not just the first project, but over the lifetime of that person working for us, you get $1 an hour from our markup on that person. So again, a dollar an hour doesn't really sound like a lot of incentive, but considering the average Annex project was more than 9 months in 2007, those referral fees quickly add up. We've paid out over $125,000 in 2007 in referral fees. So it's a great way for a lot of people to make upwards of tens of thousands of dollars per year in passive income. So we also have a program for referring opportunities because 99% of our projects are referrals or repeat business. So that's one way we're getting around the availability issue. The other one, which I consider is important, is that I give presentations to universities, colleges, and high schools to encourage young people to consider IT, a career in the IT industry. Enrollment is down in computer science across Canada by 40% to 50%, and that's significant. I also have a presentation that targets young women because women represent only 23% of the Canadian IT workforce. So according to ICTC, again, the Information and Communications Technology Council, the number of computer science graduates from from all schools across Canada. Now, this is going back to 2004, but this stat is unbelievable. The total number of computer science graduates across the country that year was 3,160 people. That sounds very low. If you compare that to the number of computer science graduates in India in the same year, in 2004, they had 100,000 computer science graduates. And in China that year, there were 300,000 computer science graduates. So we need to encourage our young people to look at IT as a career. It's a well-paying career. It's a pretty safe career, and it'll help us stay competitive and innovative in the global market. I'm also a mentor to a program called Success, which helps new immigrants adapt to Canadian culture. And so I mentioned all those Indian and Chinese graduates. Well, a lot of those people come to Canada looking for a new life, and so my role in Success is to mentor those people and help them find work and help our industry fill some of those gaps. Boy, I would say challenge number three is probably just expansion for Annex. We would like to grow and open new offices, and we need to build new alliances, the Annex Alliance that I mentioned, those thousands of people in BC. We need to build those types of alliances in new markets, and that takes time, and find great people to run those markets. And so that's some of the challenges we're looking forward to over the next few years.
Can you provide a picture of what kind of skills are in greatest demand and how you see this changing?
Sure. We are getting a lot of demand for a lot of different things, but right now the number one request we're getting, and I'm speaking from the perspective of Annex here, and we do most of our work in British Columbia, but the number one request we're getting from our customers is for senior business analysts. So a BA is kind of an ambiguous term, and it means different things to different people, but here at Annex, a business analyst is someone who can define business and system requirements. They can create business cases, model current and future business processes, do alternatives analysis such as the evaluation and selection of commercial software applications, and complete things like feasibility studies. The good news about the demand for BAs is that BA work typically happens early in the stages of a project. So to me, that means that there are a lot of clients here on the West Coast planning many projects for 2008, which will keep us all busy in the local market. I would say in general, we're seeing strong demand across all areas of IT. We are getting demand right now for senior project managers, infrastructure specialists in all areas of technology and networks and security, software developers in both .NET and Java, and as well as management consultants. I think it's, to me, I've been in the industry 20 years, and this is the busiest I have ever seen the market, and I think we'll look back on these days as the glory days in IT. Now, the question is also how I see this changing. I definitely see the market softening. In the future, of course, things operate in cycles, but I believe that here locally in BC, we're going to see the local economy soften just before or after the 2010 Olympics in Vancouver, which I encourage everybody from across Canada to come out for. When the market softens, when it eventually softens, of course, companies' capital budgets will be reduced, and we'll see less demand for those front-end people like BAs and project managers and management consultants. And in turn, we'll see some demand for people associated with, you know, keeping the lights on, like network operations and application support people. I'm also seeing with the Canadian dollar, I'm seeing some offshoring taking place. So offshoring has definitely picked up momentum over the years. But in Canada, we were stealing a lot of that business by providing nearshoring services to U.S. companies. With the strength of our dollar, some of those organizations, I think, may look at places like India and China because of, you know, the cost of doing business in Canada currently.
What are your key lessons from your projects that you wish to share with IT and business managers?
Well, we've done a lot of projects, so I'll provide one lesson for IT managers, and that's really a lesson based on what I see out there happening right now, and then I'll do one lesson for individual IT practitioners. The lesson for IT managers out there right now is that I believe it is, and it's going to become even more challenging to retain great people over the next 2 to 3 years. So what we're doing here is at Annex is we're recommending to clients that if they have a lot of work to do in the pipeline, and they are working with a talented contractor now, What we're recommending is that they consider locking down that person for long-term contract durations. Not only are the good people hard to find right now in markets like Vancouver and Victoria and Calgary and Edmonton and other Canadian markets, but we believe that contract rates are going up, particularly in Western Canada. So by signing a long-term contract now, a client can secure a consultant at today's rates rather than having to negotiate a higher rate later. For example, we've got a client right now that plans to sign 4 contracts here over the next couple of weeks. Each one of them is longer than 2.5 years in duration because they can't find the right employees to hire and they want to keep great people at today's rates. My lesson for IT practitioners, changing gears here and talking just about individuals operating within IT, is I think it's really important that IT practitioners remember that their soft skills are just as important as any technical skill that they have. What I say to consultants here at Annex is that your technical skills may get you in the door, may get you your first assignment with a client, but it's your soft skills that will get you repeat business with that customer in the future. So I would definitely, I can't overemphasize that IT practitioners shouldn't underestimate the importance of soft skills. By soft skills, I mean things like verbal communications, written communications, leadership skills, presentation and facilitation skills, team building, interpersonal compatibility, conflict resolution, those kinds of things. This is definitely the time of year when a lot of people and organizations plan for the next 12 months, and I encourage IT people to include their personal development and soft skills training in their 2008 plan.
What are the 5 most important challenges and solutions for managers in 2008?
Boy, in 2008, I do believe that there's going to be challenges related to recruiting and retention. So challenge number one is definitely in terms of recruiting. There's just not enough people right now to choose from. I mentioned that stat from ICTC, a shortage of almost 90,000 people over the next 4 to 5 years. We're lucky in Canada in that our immigration laws don't limit the number of skilled people from other countries. This has definitely impacted the U.S., and one example of that is that Microsoft recently opened a large development center, software development center here in the Vancouver area this past fall. Microsoft couldn't convince U.S. immigration to soften their policies, so they decided to open in Canada. I think a solution to this recruiting problem is, as I mentioned earlier, we all need to work together as an industry to develop the next generation of IT professionals. We need to canvass schools from an early age to raise awareness of IT as a possible career. One of the things that the BC Technology Industry Association locally here in British Columbia is doing is they're organizing traveling roadshows to the U.S. To visit universities and encourage those high-tech graduates to consider moving to Vancouver. With the strength of our Canadian dollar, we're seeing a lot of Canadians returning back to their homeland from the U.S., but with our quality of life, perhaps we also have the ability to attract Americans to Canada. That's challenge number one. Challenge number two is once you recruit the people, I think the next challenge is how do you retain them in a market that's very busy and where there's a shortage of staff. I think every manager is going to have a challenge in 2008 to protect their great people from other offers. So when I, just as an example of how the world has changed, when I, prior to starting Annex back in 1998, I worked for SHL System House, which is now EDS, and I was HR manager, and we never used independent consultants, and now it seems like that's changed, and companies need to have a mixed model of consultants and employees and contractors to get work done. Back in those days when I was HR, we used to say that we needed the 3 C's to retain an employee. By the 3 C's, we meant compensation, challenge, and contribution. And we used to say that if there was an issue with one of those C's, then that's a warning that someone wasn't happy. If there was an issue with 2 or more of those C's, then that person would definitely leave the organization. So in terms of compensation, rates and salaries are going up, and companies should just make sure that they're competitive, and that's definitely challenging for government right now where they have set grades and pay scales. We're seeing a lot of people leaving government and crown corporations for more money in this busy kind of market. So it's going to be challenging for those organizations to retain people until the market softens. The challenge part of the three C's means that managers need to look at offering great projects to their people. Everybody wants to work on exciting projects in IT and have the opportunity to grow and learn. And then the third C, contribution, is really, I think, one of the areas that a manager has the most control over. Everyone needs to feel like they're contributing to the success of a project in the organization. So I think managers have a great opportunity to recognize their people for jobs well done. And it doesn't need to be monetary recognition, you know, with limited budgets and organizations. Just a pat on the back or a modest award presented in front of, you know, a worker's peers is a great way to say thanks and motivate an employee. A third challenge I see out there in 2008 is systems integration challenges. We see this challenge a lot in our healthcare clients. Healthcare data, I mean, it's a pretty well-known problem, but healthcare data right now needs to be shared among facilities, among care providers like physicians, and across different geographies. But each of these groups has their own solutions for tracking healthcare data. So the challenge becomes how to integrate these different systems and share data that currently exist in silos and cannot communicate with these other groups. So we're also seeing a lot of, because of the strength of the Canadian economy, in 2007 we saw a lot of mergers and acquisitions, and I think that trend will continue in 2008. So that also results in many systems integration challenges as separate companies try to come together. In terms of a solution, there's no real easy solution to the healthcare challenge. It's such a complex field with so many stakeholders, and it's going to take a very strong overall strategy to make that happen. Canada Health Infoway is one of those groups that's working to execute projects where we can share data. And hopefully in the future our medical records will be available across the country and in different facilities, so that if you take a vacation and you know, something unfortunate happens, then a doctor can make the right diagnosis. Challenge number four that I see in 2008 is related to security. Security has been an issue for a long time, but it's definitely not going away. The protection of privacy legislation and other regulations mean that companies more than ever need to keep their data secure. So the solution we're seeing out there with our clients is just the execution and completion of regular security reviews and audits to make sure that companies are in compliance. I'm seeing security experts in great demand across the country, and from a consulting perspective, those are some of the highest paid contractors and consultants that we see out there. So that's four out of five. I would say if I had to pick a fifth as a challenge for managers, I'll probably, I didn't actually prepare a fifth, but if I had to pick a fifth, I would make it something a bit lighter for managers. I would say that managers really need to make their work environment fun. Happy people are more productive people, and in this day and age of doing more with less, I would say a manager's challenge next year is to make coming to work a lot of fun for their IT staff.
The industry is changing. What advice would you give to IT professionals to stay on top of what is happening in the industry in order to position them and their organization to benefit from these trends?
That's a great question. I am definitely a strong advocate of lifelong learning. I believe we all need to keep learning throughout our careers, and not only our careers but our lives. This is obviously important in many industries, but especially in IT and high tech, where technology changes so much on an ongoing basis. The advice that I give IT professionals who want to stay current, this advice also helps to raise their personal profile. I would say number one is create a personal development plan each year and make sure that it's reviewed regularly. A lot of people think about that, but they don't actually create a plan. You know, put pen to paper and create a plan. Take a break from day-to-day projects and commitments. Everybody's extremely busy, and you know, there's lots going on in a strong economy with sizable capital budgets. There's lots of big projects and exciting things happening, but don't forget to invest in yourself. Take education planning seriously. Create a training plan as part of an annual review process. For myself, I also personally have a personal strategic plan. and that includes my personal vision and things that are important to me as well as my personal development plan. So I encourage people to look at something like that. Number two is to actually do the training. So once you have a plan in place, make sure to execute it. Training is an investment not only in you, but also in your organization. So number three, and one that's really important to me, is networking. I encourage people that I work with to attend industry association meetings and conferences. This is a great way to not only stay current with the industry, you know, the trends going on, but also to raise your personal profile in your local community. It was a great way for me when I was, I'm still involved with KIPPS, but when I was heavily involved with KIPPS as president of the local section, I met so many people from various organizations and learned a lot about how different organizations do different things. Number four for me, I would say, is somewhat related to number three, but I have it in a category called volunteering. Instead of just attending events, I would encourage people to consider organizing them. Get involved on the boards of industry associations or help to run events or just get involved in your community. It's a great way to meet the leaders in your industry and learn more about what the world is doing around you. As I mentioned, I really increased my personal profile when I volunteered for KIPPS and eventually became president in Vancouver. Number five, I would say, is to read. Yes, I can understand that reading a book on the latest technology may not accelerate your senses, but definitely flipping through industry trade publications is a good way to get a better understanding of what's happening out there. There's very good publications available for free to IT professionals, and many others available for a nominal fee. So remember those soft skills that I mentioned before, they're really important. So don't just read about technology, but consider reading personal development books that improve your understanding of business and other things. So personally for myself, I'm a big advocate of reading and staying current, and I read at least one book a month in areas such as self-help, personal development, soft skills, business, finance, or biography to learn from the lives of other people. Number six, I would say, is to consider speaking at engagements. We all have different areas of knowledge and expertise, and chances are that there are people out there who could benefit from your experience and the lessons that that you personally have learned. So consider speaking at an industry conference or an association. So as an example, I'm a member of a group called, one of the groups I belong to, it's called the Society of PMPs of Greater Vancouver. So PMPs are the certified project managers within the Project Management Institute. They do 5 to 6 one-day seminars per year, and the presentations and workshops are done by PMPs for fellow PMPs in the audience. So it's a very friendly audience and a great way to sharpen presentation skills. I would say then finally the last one, so I mentioned about speaking, the last one is really about writing and contributing articles. So when someone writes an article, whether it's in a local trade journal or an association newsletter, anytime you get published, you not only raise your personal profile, but also the profile of your organization. And people who write articles or go a step beyond and write books are generally considered experts. So this is a great way to raise your personal profile.
What 5 lessons can you provide taken from your management experience?
5 lessons from my management experience. Number one, for me, is the most important is that attitude is everything. I definitely try to be positive and happy every single day. Being positive and having a great attitude is contagious. I would encourage managers out there to hire people who have great attitudes and dismiss people who don't. Negativity drains energy from everyone around that person. So as a manager, if you don't have the right people on the bus, you need to let them off at the next stop. I personally love going to work every day, and I want to be with people who feel the same way. That positive energy just overflows into our dealings every day with customers and our consultants and even into our personal lives. So to me, that's really important, and I would encourage everybody out there listening to this to read or watch The Secret. Number two for me is integrity. Integrity is critical. At Annex, it's our number one core value, And even though we're an IT consulting company that can outsource entire projects, we also do recruiting. So whether it's permanent placement or just, you know, one person body shop type roles, we compete against a lot of recruiting firms, and some of those firms have reputations for compromising integrity and honesty. So by being open and honest, you know, whatever you do in the IT industry, you establish trust, and that will differentiate you from others. So do what's best for your client, whether it's your internal client or an external client, even if that's not the best for your organization, because it will pay back later. Number three for me is that everyone in IT should feel that they are in the relationships business and not the IT business. So we say that a lot around here at Annex. Yes, we are a consulting company, but I believe this is really important for everyone. Each person in the IT industry should work to build ongoing relationships. So whether that's with your manager, or if you're a manager, you know, that's with maybe with the people who report to you. It could be with vendors, could be competitors, or it could even just be, you know, another parent on your son's soccer team. Colleagues that you work with today will become competitors tomorrow. Competitors will become your partners. Your staff could become your clients down the road. If everybody that you work with has a positive experience dealing with you, regardless of your role, you'll have no trouble finding work or staying busy with projects in the future. Number four for me is adding value. Many people in our industry have the ability to get the job done. You know, we have a lot of great professionals in the IT industry across Canada, but not enough people, I feel, go the extra mile to add value to a customer, to their customer. So if a customer asks for three widgets, say, consider delivering four widgets. If you know the customer, for example, is looking at a new storage solution, and you see an article in one of the trade publications that compares the best storage products, then take the time to forward that article to that customer. Adding value over and above the, you know, the ordinary day-to-day call of duty is what separates a good performer from a great performer. Number five for me is life balance. You know, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy thing. I love my job. I love coming to work. But there's definitely more to life than going into the office. Remember that life is a journey, and we all need to enjoy the ride. So life balance here is important enough to us at Annex that we made it one of our core values. So we encourage people to work hard, but to play hard and enjoy their lives. You said five things, but I'm going to give you one more because it's important to me. Number six to me in terms of lessons is to give back. It may be more of a life lesson than a management lesson, but I believe that people need to lead by example in this area. I personally try to do a lot of work to give back to the local community, both the IT community and the community in general. It's been a very good community to me over the last 20 years, and I believe we're all here to serve others. So I encourage people to give back to others who are less fortunate. It really helps us as individuals when we do that to realize how lucky we are and to make us feel more grateful for what we have. And that in turn helps to form a great and positive attitude, which goes back to my first key lesson number one.
Share one or more stories from your work.
Stories from my work. Story number one that was moving for me happened recently. One of our consultants tragically passed away at a young age, so unexpectedly passed away. We announced that information in a newsletter that goes out to our consultants, you know, our 3,500 consultants in BC, and there was just an overwhelming and unexpected rally from that community. So people really took an interest in this young man's story, and there were offers to create a memorial fund for this person and to provide donations to charities in his name. So I think you know, what I see over and over again is that even though there are 600,000 IT people across Canada, it's actually a very small community, particularly in each major city across Canada. Another story for me that is surprising, it's a bit of a plug, but is something I'm proud of, is that Annex has been recognized as one of the fastest growing companies in British Columbia for the last four consecutive years, since 2004. So what's surprising about that is that looking at the list, there's only 5% of the companies on the 2000 list that appeared in the 2004 list. So It's very, very difficult to remain a fast-growing company because as revenues grow, it's much more challenging to keep those percentage numbers growing quickly. So we're proud of that, and we hope to be on the list again in 2008. And then my final story, I think, story number three is something that provides evidence of how, as IT professionals and practitioners, great service means a lot. We're all here to serve our clients. This story happened a few years ago. We worked on a project for a high-profile client. It was a very high-profile technology project, and our consultant doing the work made big mistakes. It turned out to be not a very good project for us, and in fact, we had to go to that client site and walk the consultant off the client premises. And when we sent the customer our satisfaction survey, which we do at the end of every project that we undertake, they chose very unsatisfied, which is our worst rating on our scale in terms of satisfaction. So it's one of the only very unsatisfied results we've ever had in the history of Annex. So it looked at the time like it was going to really impact our relationship with the client. But what our team did here is that they were so motivated to win that relationship back, and they worked extremely hard to add that value, like I mentioned earlier, to do things over and above the call of duty for this client. And what happened is that this same client, this large client in British Columbia, ended up being one of our top three customers for the next 21 months in a row. And so the moral of that story is that we're all here to serve our clients, and IT is a tough business. You know, we all have you know, histories of making mistakes on projects or seeing projects fail, but if trust is broken in a relationship because of a project failure, if you apologize and if you plan how you're going to make that up to your client and execute that plan, you can actually create an even stronger relationship with that client than you had before.
Can you provide your predictions of future IT business trends and their implications and opportunities?
Trends, boy, I think an ongoing trend, trend number one here will be the what I see in a lot of clients is that they're continuing to try to do more with less. So companies are cutting costs and reducing overhead, while at the same time they have to deliver the same or better products and services. I think the implication for us as IT professionals is that technology will continue to be a critical component of businesses and innovation strategies to help businesses increase their productivity with the same staff or maintaining service levels with less people. I've seen evidence of this over and over again in both public and private sectors, and I think there won't be a shortage of technology products for us in the future as companies continue to try to do more with less. The second trend, which is somewhat related, is that customers out there are becoming more and more sophisticated. So the implication on us as IT professionals is that our product cycles are becoming shorter, and projects and products are getting much more complicated. So as an example, if you look under the hood of a new 2008 vehicle, compare that to a vehicle from 30 years ago. Today's vehicles are so complex that it's even hard to find the dipstick if you wanted to check your oil. The same thing is happening in other industries. So if you look at, say, video games, Vancouver is one of the busiest and largest video game manufacturing hubs in the world. Compare a video game now, which is a huge, huge industry, the video game industry. Compare that game now to 15 years ago. Same with movies, same with computers, cell phones, cameras, even a refrigerator. You know, just the features available today are much more complex and advanced than before. I mean, you can't even buy a pair of exercise shorts anymore, because instead of just being a regular pair of shorts, it has to be, you know, made of dry weave material that's high tech so that you don't stay warm or cold, and made from recycled products. And so what I see is that customers out there are demanding more and more product features, and these products are getting complicated and more advanced. And businesses, in turn, are pushing to get products to market in shorter and shorter product cycles. So to me, the implication, besides all of us working hard, is I think for one particular area of IT, I think project managers are becoming more and more valuable. And earlier in my career, I saw project management treated more like a luxury, but now it's really mandatory in order to satisfy these very heavy demands being put on our project teams. I think a third trend that we're going to see over the next 12 to 24 months is that the discipline of business analysis is about to explode in terms of its maturity, and it will follow the pattern that's been set by project management over the last 5 years. So the Project Management Institute has done a great job of helping to mature the project management industry. So with the creation of their body of knowledge and a certification, I think that the International Institute of Business Analysis is about 1 to 2 years away from doing the same with BAs in our IT community. So the certified BA professional designation will become very popular once the BA body of knowledge matures, and I think you'll see a lot of BAs getting certified starting around 2009 and 2010. Trend four is that collaboration processes and tools, I believe, will continue to become valuable and mature. So as an example, I think that Moss 2007 from Microsoft, including SharePoint 2007, will be one of the hottest products in 2008. And I also believe trend number five here is, my last trend, is that independent consulting, I see that trend continuing to grow in popularity. The baby boomers in this industry, as they approach, you know, the end of their careers, a lot of people that I know aren't satisfied with retiring. They're coming back and doing consulting because they're healthy and their mind is strong and they want to keep working. So I also see Generation Xers wanting quality of life and flexibility. So I just see a lot more independent consultants and small businesses being created over time. And in fact, in BC, 98% of all businesses are small businesses, and 85% of those have 10 or less people. So it's strong evidence that a lot of people are going out and doing things on their own and choosing quality of life, which is a lot different than, say, our parents' generation, where, you know, people generally worked for one organization for their entire careers.
What are your top recommended resources and why?
So by resources, do you mean information resources?
Information resources could be organizations, could be links
Sure.
on the Internet.
Sure. For me, number one would probably be local business publications. So, you know, whether you live in Ontario or British Columbia or wherever in BC, we have BC Business Magazine and Business in Vancouver Magazine. To me, that helps me understand the world around me in terms of business, and both of those publications do a lot with high tech as well. They're very focused on technology. I would say number two would be the national business publications, again, so I can see what's going on in other areas of Canada, so Canadian Business and Profit Magazine. Number three would be the trade publications. So obviously I'm in the IT industry and I need to stay current, so I read and flip through and subscribe to many, such as Computing Canada, Computer World, CDN, eWeek, CIO Magazine. There's many that I have a stack each week. Number four for me would be industry analyst organizations. So I've mentioned ICTC off the top. They look at the IT industry in Canada. Other well-known analyst organizations like Gartner and Forrester are great sources of information. And finally, for me, probably number five would be books on living a life of greatness. So I recommend reading books, maybe some of the books by Robin Sharma, a fellow Canadian and a great author, just on how to live a great life, which is completely outside of IT, but something I think we all should do.
Now, Stacey, earlier in this conversation, you talked about KIPS, the Canadian Information Processing Society, Canada's Association of IT Professionals, and your roles within that organization. Can you get into more detail about this?
Sure. KIPS is one of the largest IT associations in Canada for individual practitioners. KIPS has been in operation since the late 1950s, so next year they're going to be having their 50th year anniversary. So that's absolutely amazing to me, given that home PCs didn't really catch on until the 80s. I joined the board of KIPS in the Vancouver section in the year 2000 and held various board positions over the years. I was director of membership, vice president in Vancouver. I was president for a couple of terms, past president, and Director of Special Projects, and now I'm a member of the local advisory board for KIPPS Vancouver. I've helped to set up and organize events. I've presented at a number of KIPPS functions, and KIPPS has been great for me personally over the years.
What are the values inherent in belonging to this kind of organization?
Well, when I was involved as president of KIPPS, we definitely surveyed members and we talked to people about why they would belong to such an organization. And we received, you know, different answers from different people. But for me personally, it was all about the networking. So I wanted to come out to events and see colleagues that I didn't get the chance to see regularly and meet new people from different organizations to find out how they did things compared to how we did things and, you know, what they were up to. And belonging to KIPPS really allowed me to raise my personal profile by attending events and volunteering and raising awareness, but also giving back to the community, you know, by helping out with events and learning from others. So I think KIPPS is also, that was a huge thing for me, the networking, but also KIPPS is doing a great job with sort of formalizing the industry and setting guidelines for professionalism and ethics and making the industry in Canada more standardized.
You know, you have a very busy life, and there's this whole question of work-life balance. What other passions do you have?
Boy, I have a lot of passions, and yes, I do stay busy. I love the idea of creating something from nothing. So when I went out on my own as a consultant in 1997, I left a great organization, but I really wanted to start a business. So at the time, I was 29 years old in 1997, and my wife was 8 months pregnant with her second child. I had just bought a new house, and I had just bought a new baby mobile with high monthly payments, and it was probably the perfect worst time I could have picked to leave a stable job and start a new business. But, you know, it was something I had to do. I had entrepreneurial fires burning, you know, deep in my belly, and for me it's been really satisfying to be completely responsible for both success and failure. So I love to create things, and you know, I hope to create new businesses down the road. I also, my other passion is I love to help people, and that's why I created a service business. So down the road, I would love to someday create the Stacey Cernick Foundation and use that as a vehicle for helping others less fortunate in our community and in the world. And finally, I guess, you know, my other passion is probably my biggest passion is my family. So I'm married. I've got a couple of kids, and I coach soccer. I coach Little League Baseball. For my son, my daughter is a dancer, and I'm taking her to Disneyland in the spring where her dance company is going to perform. So, you know, my number one goal is to be a great daddy and a great husband, and if I can do that, then everything else in my life is a bonus.
I hear 24 hours in a day, but there's 20-plus right there.
Yeah, you know, you have to take time as well to recharge, it's great to be busy, and it's great to be excited about waking up every day, coming to work, and as well helping other people. So I really am lucky and very much enjoy what I'm doing right now in my life.
I know that when I talk to some of your former colleagues or current colleagues, they just uniformly, fully endorse and very, very positive in terms of their engagement with you. So that speaks to you, Stacey, and all the things that you do. So.
Well, thanks. I appreciate hearing that.
Well, Stacey, we will continue to follow your significant contributions in your work and on the industry front, and we thank you for sharing your time, wisdom, and deep accumulated insights with us and our audience.
Thank you very much, Stephen. It's been my pleasure.